When did you first have the germ, the seed of this story as an and putting it on film?
Well, I had two. The inspiration really came from two different happenings in with friends of mine. One was a friend of mine named J.R. Rhodes, who is a motorcyclist that I ride with, and I took a photograph of J.R. and he was laughing in the picture, and it wasn't a very skillful photograph, but it was a picture that I took, and I was screwing around with it in one of my editing programs for photos, and I ended up turning it kind of sepia. And he had some great lines in his face with his laughter, and I thought, wow, he kind of looks like the Marlboro Man, and I really would like to see him in a cowboy hat. So that was one little piece of the idea. And another part was my friend Ryan Murphy, who's one of the cellists with the symphony here in San Antonio. And he and I become good friends, and he brought me over to his house and made me a special cocktail, which I'd never had before. And it was the real deal absinthe, and it was this beautiful ceremony with glass and fire and ice, and it was just this really interesting thing. And I immediately said, I want to film that. I don't know for what or how, but it was this very very just very interesting and unique experience having this this drink prepared for me for the first time. And those two things kind of collided together, and the story was born. So the Old West and this kind of hallucinogenic cocktail. So that's how it started.
Yeah, because in the movie, this, mysterious fella comes forward and comes upon a party in the woods, and introduces them to this cocktail as well. And there's a lot of, camera movement, which I want to talk to you about in just a little bit as
Sure.
well, as well as these, just kind of, I don't know, the intents of this stranger are not quite well known, of course, at the beginning of the picture as
Indeed,
well.
and I think that was partially inspired by my experience with Ryan was that
If the intents were not known.
the intent and the effects were not known, and it was all new to me, and I'd never done that, and I suspect a lot of people that see this movie will have never had that experience before. So I've seen absinthe portrayed in a few movies, but it's been fairly brief, and I thought, well, I'm gonna perhaps shoot the most detailed sequence of how to make absinthe probably ever. So that was one of the fun goals artistically, was to sort of capture this very subtle but beautiful. I call it the ceremony, the absinthe ceremony in the movie. So.
Yeah, because your camera goes directly in on the instruments of the preparation and really is goes into quite the detail of it.
Indeed, every small details. I used a lot of macro lenses and very fine small camera movements. I built my own camera slider rig. It's basically a little miniature dolly, so I could get very, very small but smooth camera motion, so I could capture, for instance, the sugar cube dissolving in water, and you imagine for the viewer the size of a sugar cube, so that fills the entire screen. So I tried to do a lot of things like that to bring you inside of the experience. So.
And the movie itself, and you have the title of the film. There's a ballad associated with it, an old hymn, and perhaps this is when we'll start talking a little bit about music here. But in that, along those regards, with music, how did you decide this is going to be a wordless film?
Well, so I'm a musician by profession. So I guess for the audience, I play the viola professionally, and that's my main job, what I do. And I was living here in San Antonio for quite a few years, and so I wanted the music to be a huge part of this idea. And I've been fascinated with film over the last couple of years. My favorite moments in my favorite films are when people just shut up and let the plot move forward by doing things, and by the director editing and letting you see what happens. So that's become a little bit of an obsession for me, is to see how far I can go without letting anybody say anything. And so when I wrote this, started actually writing out Upon the Awful Tree as a screenplay, I started writing, and I thought, well, I'll just see how far I can get without anybody saying anything. And if somebody needs to say something as I write, I'll let them. But I'll just see how far I can get. And I wrote and wrote and wrote, and I got to the end, and nobody said anything. And I thought, that is cool. So I did it. So I don't consider it a silent film. I consider it a dialogue-free film. So it's hopefully nobody, as you watch it, hopefully people won't notice that nobody says anything. It's just they're doing things rather than talking about them. So, and that also lends itself to the classic Westerns, you know, the Sergio Leone Westerns and things, where there are these long, drawn-out scenes where it's just the squinty eyes and the holster and the water tank and whatever. So I definitely wanted to kind of take that idea and not revitalize it really, but just kind of homage.
Bring it to the forefront again.
Definitely homage that again, which is a style that you just don't see. People just don't have time to do that anymore, except for with very few exceptions, which were our direct inspirations, which we'll probably talk about. But yeah, so the music, back to the music. I definitely wanted the music, and so I sat down with my mom and my sister who play instruments and at Christmas, and we just started reading through a hymnal that my mom had, and I was looking for fuel. I was looking for material for the movie and found two hymns, but the main one is called Throned Upon the Awful Tree, and it was in a minor key, and it just had these incredible words. Shall I read them?
Yes, go ahead.
So here's the, this is actually the second verse of the hymn, which we feature in the opening credits of the movie, and here it is. So, silent through those three dread hours, wrestling with the evil powers, left alone with human sin, gloom around thee and within, till the appointed time is nigh, till the Lamb of God may die. Ooh. So that's what opens the movie. So that, and then the hymn is in a minor key, which is fairly unusual. And so I found this hymn and then another one called Day is Dying in the West, which also had a great title. And I took those two hymns and turned them over to the incredible Matt Dunn, who is right here next to us. So let's let Matt talk about what he's done with taking these two hymns and adapting them to the movie.
Yeah, when Deke brought these to you and you read the lyrics and you heard his ideas, what was the what began to germinate in your mind?
Well, the interesting thing about Upon the Awful Tree is that it's in G minor, but the first measure or so of it is really in G major. It doesn't turn minor until the second bar. It's a kind of an unexpected note when you hit that B flat in the second bar. I just thought that was terrific. I thought there were all kinds of ways that I might manipulate just those two opening bars, and almost everything in the score comes from either those two opening bars in that hymn or the little rhythmic figure for Day is Dying in the West, which really, it's more like a jig than a hymn. It's more like a dance, really. Now, at least at the tempo that Deke plays it at, when I got the project, Deke had, you know, filmed most everything already, and there's a scene where he's playing these two hymns, you know, on the viola around the campfire. So that was in there already. And what I was able to do was, you know, kind of write orchestration in so that he would start playing by himself and then the orchestra would kind of sneak in. And by the time he'd conclude, there'd be a full orchestra playing behind him around the campfire, which was kind of neat.
Very cool.
And there's one scene where he's playing Day is Dying in the West, and the other campers want him to play it over and over again, and they're enjoying it. But that's when the stranger is approaching from afar, and so the mood changes quite a bit throughout the course of that hymn. And so I changed the music that was accompanying that hymn, you know, as it progressed more and more. It just kind of gets a little bit more and more dissonant and a little bit more out of character and so forth until the stranger emerges from the woods.
So when it came time to put together the score with the music and the actual scoring of the picture, you looked in part to local sources here in San Antonio in order to help fill that role.
Yeah, indeed. And that was one of the big probably the biggest ambitious piece of this project as an artistic endeavor, which is really why we're doing this, was that, you know, to get a orchestra, an original music that has all of these layers and all of the philosophy and religion and all of the strain and unhealthy relationships that some of these characters have, and to portray all of that musically without dialogue. And so, yeah, so part of the project was getting my musician friends who incredibly were so generous. Everyone's been so generous on this project. I mean, basically nobody has said no to almost anything, which has just been incredible. Almost, I mean, you've probably met a lot of filmmakers, and almost every film has all of these stories of, you know, we couldn't do this and we couldn't do that, and they wouldn't let us do this, so we had to find all these creative ways around things. But with this project, it's just been green lights, and it's been a ton of work. I'm not going to say it's been easy, but everybody was so great, and a huge part of that was so many of the local musicians that are my friends and colleagues, and Matt and I asked them, and we got to handpick an orchestra, and everybody said yes. It was really amazing, so we got to record it, and we're the little movie with $1 million soundtrack. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's yeah. I think when people see, and just as importantly hear what we've done, I think people are going to really really flip out, because it's pretty special. I've seen quite a few independent films, and I've never seen anything that looks or sounds like this one. So we're excited and proud. So
yeah, you should be, because it's so rare that exactly what you said, that you see an independent film that has a full orchestral score on it, and something so rich sounding as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
well, we have good friends, and you know, we worked hard on it. I also did the audio engineering on it, which was, you know, kind of a new project for me. I've recorded, you know, several guitar CDs and some chamber music things and stuff like that, but never actually recorded an orchestra before. So I asked, you know, some friends and some colleagues for some advice on how to do it, and we just kind of dove in, and it turned out pretty well.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, it's a short film. It's a 40-minute, you know, film as well. And so in the world of films, it's classified as a short, even, you know, in that regards.
So by 1 second,
by one. Yeah. Is it what, like 42 minutes? Is that the cutoff?
I think 40 minutes,
40 minutes or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on who you ask, but it seems 40 minutes is almost universally accepted, short film. So, it has the story arc and the character development of a feature movie, but in a short film kind of package. So,
yeah,
I'm calling it episode length. Like,
it goes by fast.
Yeah.
It really does. And it's a full story. You know, something really happens, and there's real character development in it. And I think that's portrayed very successfully within the length that it is. I think it's just about the right length, honestly.
Yeah. Well, what are you hoping to do with the film? Where are you going to take it? What are you...
Well, I'm hoping to play it at the Bijou on June 2nd. So
that will happen.
Can't thank you enough for giving us this opportunity. I mean, this is best case scenario, absolutely, to be able to watch it with all our friends that help make it, and here in San Antonio. So that's I'm just out of my mind excited. I think it's gonna be great. So. Yeah, and so off I get asked this a lot. And be like, "Oh, you're working on a movie? Oh, a Western? Okay. Well, where are you going to show it?" Is usually the first question, and then what? You know, and then what are you going to do with it when you're done? And I say, "Oh, well, I'm not sure." So there's a couple. The obvious thing is to apply to film festivals and things, and just enjoy it. Kind of let people see it, and I'm curious as a beginner filmmaker, how people are going to react to it, and what kind of feedback I get, and if it's in encouragement or criticism or whatever, just and kind of see how people react and if it can have legs beyond our artistic pursuit, then that's great. So we've got ideas for it. So we're excited to get it in front of some eyes and see what people make of it. So
excellent. Good. Well, we're really looking forward to sharing it with the audience here in San Antonio, and I think people are going to dig it, and I look forward to the feedback right after the screening too, with a Q&A there as well.
So. Yes, excited about the Q&A. So
cool. All right. Well, Matt and Deke, thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks, Nathan.
Thanks for having us. Yep.